You are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Stay tuned for the Heartland Labor Forum, radio that talks back to the boss.
Step by step along this march, can be won, can be won. Many stones can form an arch, singly done.
Welcome to the Heartland Labor Forum, a weekly show of news, information, and commentary by and for the working people of Kansas City. This show is produced by a team of volunteers from a broad range of workplaces and unions and is sponsored by the Institute for Labor Studies at UMKC. The views expressed on the Heartland Labor Forum are ours and not necessarily those of KKFI, UMKC, or any of the unions involved. Welcome to the Heartland Labor Forum. Tonight's show is being underwritten by Teamsters Joint Council 56 and United Steelworkers District 11. Teamsters Joint Council 56 and our nine local unions represent 30,000 workers, retirees, and their families in western Missouri, Kansas, and Nebraska. We are proud to support the Heartland Labor Forum and their commitment to give working families a voice in the greater Kansas City community. And United Steelworkers District 11 represents 33,000 members in the Midwest, protecting worker rights and organizing the unorganized. We support union-made products. We thank our underwriters for their support of the Heartland Labor Forum and KKFI. On tonight's show, when you watch TV or go to a play or the symphony or Starlight, do you ever wonder what the working conditions are for the people who put on the show? Who has a union and who doesn't, and what difference does that make? This week on the show, we'll get to know a who's who of the entertainment unions in Kansas City. And you're also going to find out what IATSE is. In the news, who was Marjorie Stoneman Douglas? And Missouri House votes to cut unemployment compensation again. Our feature at the end of the show is Washington Window on Workers with Mark Grunberg. We'll hear what teachers' unions are saying about the suggestions to arm teachers. Now for the news.
The Missouri legislature is again trying to slash its unemployment benefits. Last week, the House passed HB 1409. It would reduce the number of weeks of benefits for our out-of-work Missourians down from the currently stingy 20 weeks. The bill says that when the unemployment rate drops below 9%, the number of weeks of unemployment is decreased incrementally. Currently, the unemployment rate is well below 9%. Indeed, if this bill passes and the unemployment rate remains low, out-of-work Missourians would only get 13 weeks of coverage. HB 1409 still needs to be passed by the Senate and signed by the governor to become effective on January 1, 2019. Representative Judy Morgan calculated how much people would lose. She says, currently our state's maximum weekly benefit is $320 at 20 weeks for a total of $6,400. With the reduction from 20 to 13 weeks per HB 1409, the unemployment benefit drops to $4,160, over $2,000 less. And since taxes are reduced on unemployment, are deducted on unemployment benefits, the unemployed person's check would be even less, and so would state revenue. Most of the states surrounding Missouri pay 26 weeks in unemployment benefits, except for Arkansas, 20 weeks, and Kansas, 16 weeks. And every state around us, except for Tennessee, pays a higher maximum weekly amount. Even Kansas pays a maximum of $474 per week, which is over $150 more than Missouri. Our state is definitely the outlier on this one, says Morgan. HB 1409 is a mean-spirited, wrong-headed piece of legislation that will drastically reduce unemployment benefits to our family members, friends, and neighbors who, through no fault of their own, have lost their jobs.
With all the news this week about the valiant new activist from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida, did anyone else wonder who Marjorie was? We did and found out this article about her on Portside. Here's an edited portion of it. There is nothing on the school website about Marjorie, so its students may not realize that in rising from last week's tragedy to speak truth to power, they are following in Douglas's activist footsteps. Douglas would certainly see a bit of herself in Emma Gonzalez, the young woman whose speech electrified her classmates, teachers, parents, and the whole country at a Fort Lauderdale rally on Saturday. The high school senior said, "If the president wants to come up to me and tell me to my face that it was a terrible tragedy and how it should never have happened and maintain telling us how nothing is going to be done about it, I'm going to happily ask him how much money he received from the National Rifle Association." Marjorie Stoneman Douglas also challenged the political and business establishment. She was a journalist and war reporter, writer, feminist, and women's suffragist, environmentalist, and progressive activist. She campaigned against racism in Florida and against the leasing of convict labor. She was best known for her staunch defense of the Everglades against efforts to drain it and reclaim land for development. She wrote the book Everglades, River of Grass. The New York Times compared its impact to Rachel Carson's Silent Spring. In 1990, Broward County named its new high school for Douglas, who was then 100 years old. Among many awards, she received the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Bill Clinton in 1993. She died at age 108 in 1998. She said, "Be a nuisance where it counts. Do your part to inform and stimulate the public to join your action. Be depressed, discouraged, and disappointed at failure in the disheartening efforts of ignorance, greed, corruption, and bad politics, but never give up."
Well, speaking of the NRA and the student Emily Gonzalez's challenge to President Trump, we looked up the NRA contributions to area elected officials. They're substantial, and none go to Democrats. Local Republican congressmen are all beneficiaries of the NRA's generosity. In 2016, Kevin Yoder got $4,000, while Sam Graves, Vicki Hartzler, and Lynn Jenkins got each $2,000. Our senators did even better, at least the three Republicans. In fact, Senator Roy Blunt was, in 2016, the NRA's number one recipient of money, hauling in $11,900. Following close behind were Kansas Senator Pat Roberts, who, for his 2014 reelection, pulled in $9,900 from the NRA. Trailing him was the other Kansas Republican Senator, Jerry Moran, with only $2,450 in 2016. So, do these guys dutifully carry the water for the NRA? In 2016, Moran, Jenkins, and Yoder each got the nod from the NRA with 93% ratings. The same is true for Blunt, Hartzler, and Graves. They all got 93% too. That's how often they voted right on guns, according to the NRA. Compare that to their labor scores on how they voted on pro-labor legislation, and it's almost opposite. On labor issues, Yoder was lowest at 6%. Jenkins follows closely at 9%. Roberts, Moran, and Hartzler come in at 12%, 15%, and 17%, and Blunt also got 17%. So at least the not pro-labor local Republican, local Republican would be Sam Graves, with a whopping 21% pro-labor votes. Of course, that's still not even one out of four votes on our side. And, of course, that's the thing. While the NRA puts itself out as an organization which supports freedom, that freedom doesn't extend to the rights of workers.
CNN Money has some good news from Germany. About 120,000 unionized Volkswagen workers just agreed to a deal that gives them a significant pay bump and, in some cases, 6 extra days off. Volkswagen said the workers will get a 4.3% pay raise starting in May, and from 2019, an extra 2.3% bonus and more pension benefits. Night shift workers and those caring for children and elderly relatives can swap the new bonus for 6 extra days off. If they do, they'll be entitled to a 45 paid days off each year, including public holidays. Volkswagen Group, which also owns the Audi and Porsche brands, employs about 286,000 workers in Germany and 350,000 in other countries. German workers are taking advantage of low unemployment and strong economic growth to flex their muscles at the negotiating table. Volkswagen's agreement is similar to another deal that IG Metal labor union negotiated earlier this month with Mercedes-Benz owner Daimler and more than 700 engineering firms in southwestern Germany. That benchmark deal allowed workers to opt for a 28-hour work week for up to 2 years before returning to the standard 35-hour week. It was designed to give families more flexibility to care for children and the elderly. Volkswagen did not offer as much in terms of flexible working hours, but an IG Metall spokesperson called it a better deal because of the company's commitment to pay more towards pensions. News was read by Kip Niven, Jen Zaman, Judy Ansel, and I'm Jason Taylor.
Hi, this is Judy Ansel, and our show tonight is about entertainment unions. And we're going to have three representatives of three different unions, actually four different unions on the show tonight. But one of the unions that we invited but couldn't make it was the Musicians Union. So we decided we would have all of our music on the show tonight is by members of the Kansas City Musicians Union. And that was Stan Kessler with Jim's Delight from his album called Skywatcher. So with us in the studio first is my co-host, Hester Dusick.
Hi, nice to see you again tonight. Yes. At CWA 6360 retired.
Okay. And with us in the studio first is Kip Niven. You heard him read the news. And Kip is a native of Kansas City and a KU alumni. Everybody else knows, well, some of the others are UMKC, so we got both sides of the state line here. He's been an actor for many years, and I'll let him tell you what all of his credits are. But mainly, he's here because he's a member of SAG-AFTRA, the Screen Actors Guild, and AFTRA, the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, as well as Actors Equity Association. Welcome to the show, Kip.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And then we have Sarah LaBarre, who is from Actors Equity, and she's also a member of AGMA, which is the American Guild of Musical
Artists.
And she's a musical artist. And a graduate of Northwest Missouri State University. She has degrees in theater, music, and voice. And gosh, we should have had you sing for us.
Sing the news.
Sing the news, right? Now, well, maybe we will if we have a minute. And she's become very active of late in the in Actors Equity. And it's funny because I met her at a labor media breakfast, and I think it's the first time anybody from an entertainment union had showed up, except for maybe you, Jason, at the labor media breakfast, and then found out that they had just joined the Kansas City Labor Council. And I said, oh, well, we should do a show about you guys. So here you are. And then we have Jennifer Mays. I'm just following around the table here. We get a circle. And Jennifer is a member of both unions, SAG-AFTRA and Actors Equity. She's been in at least one of those unions for 20 years, is a pretty well-known local actor, and has appeared in many different things, and she can tell you more about her career, but she's also a graduate of UMKC. Yay.
Yay, Ruse.
Yeah. Yay, Ruse. Go, Ruse. And then finally, we have Jason Taylor, who is business agent for two terms now, for IATSE, which stands for, Jason, tell us what IATSE stands for.
International Alliance of Theatrical and Stage Employees.
Okay. So they're the guys who are backstage, and it's the union behind all the rest of these other unions, because if they don't do their job, then the show does not go on,
Right? It can't be that way, yes, ma'am.
Right, and I'll let you tell a little bit more about your background, and you also play guitar, I heard. So everybody's an artist here.
Yep.
Except for me. Okay. So why don't we start, let me start with you, Sarah. Tell us about Equity and who Equity represents, and then Jennifer, you come in and tell us what the difference is between Equity and
sure.
SAG-AFTRA.
Sure. So Actors Equity Association, there's about 50,000 members across the country. In Kansas City, we've got 227 members, but we are a union of professional actors and stage managers that work in professional houses. We have both union and non-union that work in theater, but this is our performance union. There are four performance unions. In Kansas City, we have SAG-AFTRA, we have Actors Equity Association, and we have AGMA. So we have three out of the main four performance unions here in Kansas City.
Okay.
And SAG-AFTRA is a little bit of a different, we've merged. There was the Screen Actors Guild, which covered mostly film and major commercials. AFTRA then covered radio and what tended to be smaller commercials, things that were done on video. Now we've merged. We are one union. And so this covers movies. This covers anywhere from your little indie film that you want to try to get done out of art school if you want to do it with the union. This covers major commercials, minor commercials. This covers radio. A lot of the radio stations around town are covered by the SAG-AFTRA contracts. So it is entertainers, but it's...
What TV stations are covered?
Television...
Oh, did I put you on the spot?
A little bit. It's been a while since we don't have an office here in town, so I used to be on the committee.
Okay, I know Channel 9 is.
I think Channel 9 is.
Channel 5 is now.
And I think it's KCTV, yeah. KNBC and KCTV, I remember seeing at the union meetings.
And the camera people at Channel 4. Mm-hmm, Fox mm-hmm.
Great.
are also union because I helped them organize.
Excellent.
I know this.
Yay.
Yeah. Okay, great. And Jason, tell us about IATSE and a little bit more about what you do.
We are the, like you said, precisely the union behind entertainment in our community. We have a strong presence, all types of entertainment. We have contracts at the Sprint Center that are going to give you your rock and roll and corporate events. We do Starlight, the theater, as well as the concerts out there. We have multi-year contracts with the ballet and the opera. We work at the Performing Arts Center, but we also do the exhibition display work that's taking place literally right now. We're doing the auto show here in town at Bartle. So we do all the carpet and the pipe and drape and the decorating for trade shows. We do any small AV events. We have speakers on sticks and we have presenters in hotel ballrooms, and we're doing corporate events there, whether it be a medical meeting, anything that's going to have audio visual, any type of production involved, and we are open to that. And our jurisdiction really runs from Columbia to, we have contracts with McCain Auditorium over at K-State in Manhattan, up to St. Joe and down to Springfield.
And while we're at it, you're doing a show right now and you need some help, and so do you want to talk about
we have a demand on us right now, and it's running in cycles, and I can thankfully say that the volume has increased substantially over the past few years for our union, and so there's opportunities now that are presented, and you can come by our office, and we are looking for spots to be filled labor-wise all the way through the auto show. We have
What kind of skills do you need?
Basically, taking direction. We offer some guidance once you get there. These are big boxes that roll off trucks fast, and we have leaders there that are able to guide you through that process, a little bit of construction skills, willing to follow a guideline from a leader that's coming in from out of town to give you that, you know, he's going to supervise your job site.
And where is that office?
That is at 1321 Swift Avenue, North Kansas City.
1321 Swift.
Yes,
right.
And you can get that address also off of our website, which is Kansas City Stagehands. That's all lowercase, plural, .com. Kansas City Stagehands.com. And that has our hourly information and the address and the phone number where you can reach our office, and we're gladly accepting some applications right now.
So
I'll
be
here tomorrow.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Good. So, okay, I have to say that you don't fit the image I just got from Jason about who should be in this union. I mean, it sounds like
because I'm 150 years old. Is that what you imply?
It sounds
surprisingly agile for 150.
Yeah, thank you, that's good. It sounds like you need to be an electronics nerd and have some brawn. Is that right?
A little bit of both. I mean, it's well rounded. I tell you what's the best part about our local is that we accept everybody. Everybody makes the same wage, whether you're man, woman,
are there
your
women?
Age. Yes, we have several women highly skilled within our field that are lighting designers. They are audio technicians. They are AV technicians. And we pride ourselves on the policies that we have, that everybody is paid a standard of wage set within our community. Like I said, man, woman, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The door's open, and we need people that are into our trade and understand the significance of the commitment and the artistic passions that go on in our field. I know that the three people sitting here with me today understand an artistic commitment, and that's kind of part of what the union is taking care of, because you're in an environment where you do press, and it takes a lot to put on a show, a lot of hours and a lot of commitment. And we have to really evaluate so that nobody involved in the entire process is overburdened, because it diminishes the impact artistically that can be presented from the stage.
But you don't have to be a member.
You do not have to be a member from us. No, we just have this. It's a referral hall. You come into our situation, you are dispatched to a job site. The people then have the availability to apply. Once they see and once they're exposed, take a few calls and you see what's going on.
Cool. Okay, so let me switch over to Kip here. tell me a story of you know, and some experience you've had on a production you've been in where the union has made a difference.
I don't mean to dodge the directness of the question, but literally the union makes a difference in every production.
Okay, how?
By guaranteeing minimum wage, by guaranteeing safe working conditions, by guaranteeing limited hours of rehearsal. We work alongside, as Jen mentioned, often that with people who are non-union, there's a certain ratio that each theater has of union versus non-union workers in any given show. And those non-union employees can be kept later hours, can be called in on days off, and the union members don't have to. We're able to, and part of that is because the notion is that we are professionals and have been doing this for a number of years, are not just learning our craft or not amateurs at it. And so we are given that, we have earned that benefit, and the union is there to enforce it, to make sure that that's complied with.
Does that mean that it takes a long time to be able to get in the union?
No, it doesn't. It takes a contract to get in the union. And once you have that union contract, you may then join. There is also, in Actors Equity, a membership candidacy program where a young performer, which is the typical route, will work in productions at a union house over a certain amount of weeks. And once they've accrued enough weeks of experience, they can then join. They could also join if they got hired in a union contract. But that defers the need for membership fees and dues at the top for a young actor who's just getting started.
How many union members do you believe you have in your union? In this city?
For Kansas City, Actors Equity Association has 227 members.
So mm-hmm. Then what theaters, you're mostly in theaters, right?
We're in theaters, and I'm the other union I'm in is AGMA, the American Guild of Musical Artists, and mm-hmm. that is the Kansas City Ballet. I'm not the ballet dancer. I am in the Lyric Opera Chorus. But those are the two companies that employ AGMA. I don't know the numbers on those. But as far as, like, Actors Equity Association, we're employed Starlight, Kansas City Repertory Theater, the New Dinner Theater Restaurant. We have Unicorn Theater, the Coterie. There's theaters popping up all over the place. We have 9 small professional theaters right now. And we also have universities and colleges can also hire us under a special guest artist or special agreement contract, where we might not get our health insurance, but we still do get our union privileges and wages. So I just looked it up earlier before this interview, and there are 19 places that have employed union actors in Kansas City the past year, and that's within a 100-mile radius.
And we would love to be able to know which ones would, because so we can support our union brothers and sisters and support what you're doing. How do we find out which are the ones?
Well, there's a hashtag called Ask If It's Equity, and you can call up any theater when you buy your tickets or when you buy your season tickets and just ask them, hey, are you equity? Are you a union house? And they'll tell you. What we fight is a lot of the national tours that come through. Just because somebody says that they're a Broadway national tour does not mean they're union. You have to ask and find out. There have been a ton of non-union tours coming through. Now, they will still hire our stagehands union, but the people on stage won't be union. And that has happened at Starlight, at the Kaufman, the Music Hall, and so that's kind of a concern. So we want to make sure that, you know, we ask if it's equity and that we know when we buy those tickets for those national tours that come through that they're coming from Broadway and that they're union.
And it would be great if the union ticket buyer were to ask that question when they place their ticket order, to get it in the mind of the producers that, the public
cares.
Really does care.
Yeah. Right. I'm surprised anything coming from New York, that is there a more union city than that one? I can't imagine that they would have a group come that was not.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. And our business is one that is, I mean, it's fun. It's so much fun, and a lot of young performers want to get out there, and they do these tours, and they have an opportunity for what they feel like it's a financial windfall for them, but what they don't realize is they're sometimes put in dangerous working conditions. They certainly don't have the amount of time, rest time they would get if it was a union tour. They're certainly not working toward their insurance and their pension. There are so many things that they're not getting, but they're not thinking about that because of being a young actor, and it's fun. So it's easy to pull non-union performers into these situations.
Yeah. Right. Everybody wants to be a star, right?
Right.
I know the Musicians Union has the same problem.
Yeah.
Are your unions sort of like building trades unions because, you know, like the jobs are temporary, and so you don't file too many grievances, or do you guys file grievances, or how do you enforce your contracts?
We can absolutely file grievances, and I just worked a contract at Quality Hill Playhouse downtown, and I did not file any grievances. I mean, first of all, save that. It was wonderful. But our contracts in Kansas City can be 5 weeks. They can be 3 months. You don't really know until you work that particular contract. There are many different contracts out there. I mentioned earlier there's small professional theater. Kansas City Rep is a LORT theater, which is League of Resident Theaters. Starlight is MSUA. I forget what that abbreviation means, but it's a stock contract. The only other theater in the country that is that same contract is the Muni. So we have
in
these...
In St. Louis.
Yeah. And so we have these special different contracts, but absolutely, if there's a grievance, if somebody did not get paid right, then they will contact me probably. I'm the liaison chair, and I contact our business rep in the Chicago office, and they get that member a check.
And they contact you if they have a safety issue, I'm thinking.
I pass that immediately on. I'm going to be quite honest. I am just a conduit of information, but there's a deputy. We have an equity member on every show that we're working that is responsible for filing any reports or any grievances. They can let the liaison chair know, but really it should go immediately on to the Chicago office.
And that deputy is elected by each cast for each production.
So it's like a shop steward.
Yep.
Right, exactly.
Yep, that changes with every show.
Uh-huh. Great.
And the stage manager also performs a significant job in that, in that he is the person, or she is the person who maintains those hours and makes sure that the producer and the director are complying with the union rules. So there's a voice beyond just the individual performer.
Do you usually have good cooperation?
Usually extremely good cooperation.
Great. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break. We've been talking to Sarah Labar, Kip Niven, Jen Mays, and Jason Taylor, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Stand Up KC and the Heartland Center for Jobs and Freedom are hosting Lives on the Line, a night of unforgettable stories from low-wage workers. The Story Slam event takes place on Saturday, February 24th at 7 p.m. at St. Paul's Episcopal Church at 40th and Main. Tickets and info available by looking up Lives on the Line on Eventbrite. This message, a public service of 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
KKFI invites you to join us on air or in person at our 30th anniversary open house, Saturday, February 24th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. right here in the KKFI studios. There will be live music, food, drinks, and a history tour of KKFI. Can't join us in person? Call in and share your KKFI story with us at 816-931-KKFI, and that's 816-931-5534. Our 30th anniversary open house right here at KKFI Studios, 3901 Main Street, Kansas City, Missouri. Thanks for listening, and please come out and celebrate with us Saturday, February 24th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay, we're back. I'm Judy Ansel with Hester Dusick, and we're talking about Kansas City's entertainment unions. We've got Jason Taylor from IATSE, Local 31. We've got Kip Niven and Sarah Labar and Jen Mays, who are from Actors Equity and SAG-AFTRA. And so when we were talking about grievances, and we were talking about how you enforce your contracts. So let me go to you first, Jason, and then I want to go to you, Jen.
Sure.
And talk about some of the differences between what Sarah and Kip have already mentioned.
Well, you'd kind of addressed the issue about a construction worker and how it was a little different. We're looking at projects that are an in the morning, 4 hours, and then an out in the evening. Worked with Kip at Starlight, and you might be on a run for a week, so your length of work is not as plentiful as maybe a construction site. But we do have grievances and difficulties on job sites, and all that's taken through the job steward and ultimately comes to
what's
the
a typical grievance you have?
It's basically just an observation of maybe just some interpretation of the contract. Pay rates is usually what the grievance is mostly stemming from. Anymore, I think our industry has embraced such advancements in the amount of weight and things that we do, movement and putting in the air, everybody is extremely focused on safety anymore. So if there's an issue with safety, then we really are bringing that to the employer. And kind of to piggyback on what you had said, we're really focused on everybody being safe in an environment.
I imagine crucial. Your job is quite dangerous.
It can be. We have gentlemen that I climb and rig in the steel at the Sprint Center. I know that I've been on projects with Kip at Starlight. We were able to fly Peter Pan out over the audience. And so you're taking on certain liabilities with the gear and the instrumentation to make that happen. And so, everybody's very conscientious of it. And it's incredibly important. And it always has been. I just think... like I said, with the amount of weights and things with the inertia and movement that's going on in productions these days, we really have to be focused on that.
Okay, and Jen, what's SAG-AFTRA? How is it different?
Well, SAG-AFTRA is one of its biggest differences with Actors Equity is that with Actors Equity, there's usually a percentage. We're all kind of working toward, there's that feeling of everybody working toward eventually being part of the union. That's in every show at union houses. The difference with SAG-AFTRA, it's union or it's not union. If you're watching a film, if you're watching a commercial, it was union or it was non-union. There's not really a mix. Now, with film in this town, we're talking probably more independent film. Occasionally, we get major market movies that come through town. And those are going to be union because that industry, that side of SAG and SAG-AFTRA, understands that is where the professionals lie. Unfortunately, the commercial side in the amateurization of America with Ubers and Airbnbs and, hey, I can make this in my basement with my laptop. There's this feeling of you don't need to hire a professional. But in reality, a professional is going to be engaging enough to make sure that people don't zip through your commercials when they have that chance, when they're watching TV. A professional is going to get it done in fewer takes and cost you less money in the long run. Even though you think you're getting a bargain, bargain if you go non-union with a commercial. When you go union with a commercial, you're getting a professional. You're going to get a higher quality product. It is going to make your product that you're trying to sell in your commercial appear to be more valuable.
And that's not just the actor on the commercial, but that's going to be the whole crew. Is that right?
No, not necessarily. No, no. Oh. This is about the SAG-AFTRA side of it. Okay. It's either going to be SAG-AFTRA or it's not SAG-AFTRA.
And the cameramen aren't in SAG-AFTRA?
No.
Okay.
No. And one of the issues we face in this town is that there's a bit of a legal loophole, and when someone is a member of the union, you get your jobs through your agent, through a casting agent, and you should be a member of the union or not. You're working toward being a member of the union. There's somehow a legal loophole, and there are people who are taking advantage of that, and I want to make sure that people know, especially if you're doing training films for your union, if you're doing some sort of a little training film that you're going to show your members of your union, make sure that the people working on that are really members. Just because you are giving them a union contract, they may not be members. There is a loophole called a dues-paying non-member. I find it personally reprehensible. If your agent asks you to take this loophole, you can report them to the union, and they can lose their franchise. If an agent is trying to get them to do this loophole, we want to make sure that the members are true members. Look at their card if you're making a commercial and you want it to be union.
That's really good information.
Thank you. I'm a little passionate about this.
And I'm thinking, too, maybe the cameramen are with the electricians union?
I think typically.
News cameramen are with SAG-AFTRA.
Yeah, right. That's right.
But not commercials, yeah, necessarily.
Commercials and features in television. Mm-hmm.
And I do want to give some big props to the people in town who hire union and do it local union. Sprint has been fantastic lately.
You mean the Sprint Center?
No, I mean the corporation.
Really, they're so anti-union with their own workers.
The commercials with the former Verizon guy Paul, can you hear me now? Those are being made union. They are being made in town. They are being made with a lot of local talent. It's been a wonderful little benefit to us. Missouri Lottery has a fabulous, amazing setup. They hire local, they hire union.
And they hire Missourians.
You have to be a Missouri resident to even audition for the commercial.
Really? I'm not going to say the one that doesn't, but it's right across the state line, and they don't hire union. So if you're going to buy a lottery ticket, buy Missouri Lottery.
One of the things about a difference is the way that performers are paid, difference between equity and SAG-AFTRA. In equity, you get your weekly paycheck, bi-weekly paycheck, and at the end of the show, it's over. But with union commercials and television and film work, there's what are called residuals where
right.
there's a continuing benefit to the performer for work that has already been done, that's been on the air and is continues to be on the air for perhaps a commercial will run for an entire year or longer in some cases. But the non-union performer, there are no benefits of residuals, and they are also more likely to have to pay higher commissions to their agencies, their talent agents, their representatives, than the work that's guaranteed and controlled by union workers.
Interesting.
And that can keep you from getting other jobs. I mean, if you are the face of Acme Plumbers, and then, you know, Zeta Plumbers wants to hire you for a commercial, but Acme's still running that commercial that you made 10 years ago.
I'm thinking about Janie from the grocery store.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. If your face has been associated with one product, then you can't do a competing product. Unless you're Paul from Sprint Verizon, but you know there's the non-compete idea that right. you have to be paid. If you're going to use my face, you're going to use my voice.
You know, I kind of think of Kansas City as a small market for entertainment compared to, you know, like Hollywood or New York and all of that kind of stuff. But Sarah, you were telling me that actually
Kansas City is up and coming?
We are very up and coming. I'm pretty
Why?
I'm pretty proud of this. Well, we have three major office cities in Actors Equity Association. We have New York, of course, that's very obvious, with Broadway theaters. And we have Chicago. There's a lot of great theater that's happening in Chicago. And we have an LA office. LA is actually not a very big theater town, but we do have an office there. There are 28.
Yeah, they do movies there.
They do, which is SAG-AFTRA. But we have 28 liaison cities. So these are metropolitan areas that have enough theaters for us to band together. And Kansas City is a liaison city, and we are the sixth in a ranking of 28 cities as far as up-and-coming theaters. So this is fantastic. We have a ton of working members based on the ratio of people that live here. So it's really great.
Really? That's exciting.
And that's because we're a big theater city.
We're really supporting the arts.
Yes.
I mean, we work hard so we can go see live productions, so we can see theater. And I think that's part of being a worker, is we work hard so we can play hard.
In fairness, we should say that very few of us are able to sustain ourselves only on our work on stage or in front of a camera. We also have secondary jobs or survival jobs,
as we refer to them.
I teach, I direct, I hope to be working for IATSE this weekend. I've driven
future
a school bus, yeah. I've been a limo driver, I've been a greeter at funeral homes. We all have different ways of augmenting our income, or have a spouse that is employed. Mm-hmm. And so though we are a very active and involved theater community with a lot of breadth and depth to the talent pool, it's still a challenge to keep the wolf away from the front door.
For AFTRA, years ago, we were pretty impressed with the minimum amount of money that you could make and still get your health care taken care of. I don't know if that's changed in the last 30 years, but...
Well, our unions merged. There was SAG, and that was one of the frustrating things. If you were a member of SAG, and say, I can't remember all of the numbers, but if you had to make $10,000 to get insurance, and then you're in AFTRA, and you have to make $10,000, and say you made $15,000 combined, but you didn't make the $10,000 in either side, you didn't qualify.
Oh, gee.
Because
you had overlapping jurisdictions then, right?
At the time, no. They were separate. One would be for a film or for a filmed commercial, and the other one would be for a videotaped commercial or for smaller things.
But that's
or
obsolete.
For radio. Right. Yeah. And so now they've been merged, and so now it is a little easier to try to meet that minimum to get your insurance and work towards your pension.
And those of us of a certain age are grateful for those pensions, that when the number of jobs might not be as many because you're only in the upper category age-wise, you have some pension to fall back on to help augment Social Security and so forth.
It's crucial to have, and that's part of the quality, back to the professionalism and the quality that you get. There's a price for that, and everybody in these fields deserves that, you know, it needs to be equitable for everybody. So they want you as a professional to act in that show. They want me to put the show up. There's a fee for that, and I need some insurance and a benefit package.
Right.
You're lining up many employers throughout the year. You're not working for one employer 40 hours a week, 52 weeks a year.
And that, by the way, that's something that's difficult for the younger performer to understand, because they're going to live forever, and they're always going to have insurance because mom and dad have been paying for it for a long time. But That's an essential part of what has made it possible for me to stay doing what I love to do, is that the unions have provided that health program and that pension program now. Mm-hmm. So that you pay it, I've paid into for 45 years and am able to cash in on that now. It's all crass about saying.
So we're almost out of time. I want to reintroduce you all first. We're talking to Jason Taylor from IATSE. Jen Mays from SAG-AFTRA, and Sarah Labar and Kip Niven, who are from Actors Equity and others. I'll just leave it at that. But two burning questions I've got. One is, you know, there's been so much news lately about sexual harassment in the entertainment industry and you know, producers, directors, playwrights, whatever, who are taking advantage of, especially very young women who are coming into the trade, and I assume some men. So what difference does it make if you have a union, if you have some kind of deadbeat guy who is preying on people? What do you do?
Well, for Actors Equity Association, and I've been made aware of a few allegations that have come up recently. I report them immediately onto our Chicago office and make sure that our business rep is aware of the situation. And they can use that in contract negotiations moving forward, which is really good to hear. About 2 months ago, they posted a video on our member portal for our Actors Equity Association on sexual harassment. And they've got bullet points of what we can do and what we are not allowed to do. For me as the liaison chair, it is honestly best if I know as little as possible about specifics for legal reasons. So I do immediately try to pass on that information to our business rep. But it's handled up above the food chain, above me.
And with SAG-AFTRA, we don't have an office in Kansas City. There is one in St. Louis. Maureen is available. Maureen and the staff are there available 24/7 by phone, by email. They're great at getting back to people. They've been working very hard to try to reach out to members in this town. They've made many, many trips over onto this side of the state to try to make sure the people in this side of the state feel their representation.
So they've actually been proactive since all this, the Me Too movement and Time's Up has gotten so much attention.
But were they proactive before? Did it take something like this to get it started?
I feel like both of these unions are very aware of this issue for a very long time. And yes, it's come up, it's become part of the daily news cycle lately, but I think it's something that our unions have worked to fight against for a very long time.
And what do you have with your union?
Well, immediate submission to the job steward and to bring it to my attention to the employers as well. I think we have good relationships in this community with our employers, and nobody is willing to be patient with this. And I think the cross section of people, it always has traditionally been an artistic mixed company, and I think that there's a great deal of mutual respect amongst everybody. So nobody's there's not any tolerance there.
Do you have any room left to increase your membership?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And with SAG-AFTRA, the biggest thing is about finding the jobs. And jobs can be turned union. It doesn't have to be a union house like some of these other things. It's any job can go union. You simply sign a signatory to turn it union, and you follow the rules. It's very easy to do. And because the office in St. Louis knows that this is an issue, they've made it even easier. You simply call their office. They'll talk you through the paperwork. They'll walk you through the paperwork, and they have made brand new reduced rates. You can get us for cheap. No, but they have made these brand new reduced rates to encourage things that may not have gone union in the past to go union.
So that doesn't take the agreement of the person on the other end, the producer or whoever is making the commercial?
The person making the commercial does not necessarily have to have an existing relationship with the union. They can hire a signatory, somebody who will work with them, and then the union can work with them. If you're doing a little indie film and you want to hire a union actor, you simply call Maureen. She'll talk you through it. And a little, you can use a professional, experienced working actor like Kip Niven to do your art school film. And it's extremely reasonable. It's so much easier and less expensive than it used to be.
What do you do with the students? We have great theater in a lot of the schools. Mm-hmm. So how do you try to capture those kids before they get used to being non-union?
Well, I'll answer that. It's we have an incredible program at UMKC, the MFA program, and that is a direct feeder for a lot of wonderful theater in Kansas City. The Kansas City Actors Theater uses them, the Unicorn, Coterie, Kansas City Rep. I would say a lot of the theater students stay in town. Some of them leave and they go on to Chicago or to New York, but that is a direct feed for our arts community, is that wonderful MFA program at UMKC.
And that's the theaters in Kansas City are utilizing those new students, those new professionals who have just graduated from school, and those students are trying to get those equity membership candidate points that I mentioned, working work weeks, so that by the time they've accrued, I think it's 50 weeks of work, then they're able to go ahead and join.
And that actually just changed. The union just changed that. You can now join at 25
weeks.
That's
right. Thank you.
And you can stay. If you want to go the full 50, you can do that, or you can turn union at 25.
Okay, and Jason, what does it take to join your union?
You come down to the office, sign up. It's more of a application process that you take in. It can be a little sporadic and run in cycles when you first start taking calls, but it is just application.
It's like being a construction worker.
Yeah, put up your application. You can still continue to work. We pay a 5% referral fee on every job that you go through. But, you know, a lot of people, this task and this job isn't for, but we really like the ones that embrace the life of it.
So are you constantly trying to organize new venues?
We do make attempts to that. We're kind of back to we can be a job anywhere across our community. So uh-huh. We do have multi-year contracts with venues, but I'm the one that's approached for a small AV job in a hotel in South Johnson County. And it's not necessarily a union venue, but they're establishing a relationship with our office here in town. We set the contract up, and we have our scope of work and our jurisdiction that's laid out in the contract, and they understand it as such.
Okay, we're out of time. So we've been talking to representatives of our local entertainment unions, Kip Niven and Sarah LaBar from Actors Equity, Jen Mace from SAG-AFTRA, and Jason Taylor from the IATSE. And thanks to Hester, I'm Judy Ansel. Okay, and this is Judy Ansel again, and I just wanted to say that last musical cut from a member of the Kansas City Musicians Union was Betty Jo Simon performing Malagueña with the UMKC Community Accordion Orchestra. I didn't know they existed. And, of course, the theme song you heard, Solidarity Rocks, tells us that we're on the line with Mark Grunberg from PAI, Union News Service in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you, Judy. Welcome, everybody.
And so we wanted to talk about union reactions. Just coming in here on the news, they were talking about how Trump wants to arm our teachers. And I think the teachers have had some reaction to it. You want to talk about that?
Let's put it mildly. AFT and NEA, the only question is who was angrier. Randy Weingarten, who teaches civics when she's not running AFT, when she teaches civics in a New York City middle school. Those like President Trump and Betsy DeVos, he's the education secretary, who want an arms race and to turn schools into militarized fortresses by arming teachers, sicken her. Anyone who wants guns in schools has no understanding of what goes on inside them, or worse, doesn't care. Let's emphasize the words "doesn't care."
What is it that makes teachers unsuited to be defenders with automatic weapons?
Well, for one thing, most of them are not trained.
But they're going to train them. You didn't hear?
Yes. Yeah. If you want to train 70% of your teacher workforce, go ahead. 70%. You know, the military is what, 20% female. The teacher workforce is 70% female. That's the training. But the other part of it is, in so many words, and this is what the teachers rank and file, as well as Weingarten and Willie Garcia, of the NEA are saying is you turn schools into a shooting gallery. It only makes the it only makes things worse, in so many words.
Right. So what is the solution? Are any of them talking about what a real solution to this problem is?
Well, for right now, they're just telling Trump to, yeah, basically, you're cuckoo. They haven't gone the next step yet. Except they are campaigning. They will be out there with the students on March 10th, I believe. Yeah, March the 10th. There's going to be a 17-minute nationwide walkout of students, teachers, and parents from all the schools in honor of and to commemorate the 17 who died in Florida, and to call for a ban on these assault weapons. And then they're all the students at that high school in Florida are already organizing and plan to lead a March 24th nationwide march on Washington of students from around the country with the same aim, pardon the bad pun.
Okay, so are we hearing anything from any of the other unions about this, or is it just the teachers' unions who are speaking up?
So far, it is just the teachers' unions, which is a disappointment, frankly. I would guess, I haven't checked yet, I would also guess that the school administrators who represent a small group of principals and similar administrators are probably on the same side. But the other unions have been... I haven't checked the big ones like SEIU and AFSCME yet, but I wouldn't be. But many of those so far have been silent. The AFL-CIO has been silent on gun control for years.
Right, right. They're very conflicted because their members are very conflicted, right?
Exactly. Yes, you have unions that are heavily pro-union, but also heavily pro-gun, or their members are, I should say.
Right. Well, that's all we have time for, Mark.
Firefighters and the AFGE and a couple of the others.
Right. That's all we have time for. Thank you. We'll talk to you next month.
Right.
Okay. We've been talking to Mark Grunberg.
This is a continuing story, and we'll talk about it next month, too.
Okay. So. Thanks, Mark. Bye. And now for the calendar.
Heartland Labor Forum calendar on February 22nd, 2018. The Lives on the Lines, thank you, Lives on the Line of Survival, Grit, and Determination. Story Slam?
Yeah.
Saturday, February 24th at 7 p.m., 11 East 40th Street, Kansas City, Missouri, featuring Matthew Dix on the Moth Radio. Workers' Rights Clinic for Victims of Wage Theft, Monday, February 26th, 5 to 8 p.m. at El Centro, 7th and Minnesota Avenue, Kansas City, Kansas. Conversation about immigration, sponsored by Consensus, Tuesday, February 27th, 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., Kansas City Public Library's Central Branch, 14 West 10th Street, Kansas City, Missouri, 64105. To download the free discussion guide, go www.nifi.org. The event's free, but space is limited, so we ask that you register in advance with Consensus. And you know it'll all be on...
It'll all be on our webpage at heartlandlaborforum.org. We actually have a very long calendar, and so if you want to see the many upcoming events, especially the Right to Work kickoff, February 28th, at IBEW Local 124, it's the kickoff for the campaign against the Right to Work bill that was passed by the Missouri Legislature. That's at 5:30 to 6:30 at 301 East 103rd Terrace in Kansas City, Missouri. Tune in next week to the Heartland Labor Forum. Our show is called Charter Schmarter, or not so smarter, actually. And we're also going to be talking about the Triangle Factory Fire Project play, which will be in Lee's Summit. Thanks to tonight's engineer, Jen Zeman.
You have been listening to the Heartland Labor Forum, radio that talks back to the boss. We are sponsored by the Institute for Labor Studies at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. Our volunteers come from a wide variety of workplaces and unions. We are supported by many Kansas City area unions and the AFL-CIO. To talk back to us, to volunteer, or to let us know about news or events, call us at 816-235-1470 or go to www.heartlandlaborforum.org. The views expressed on the Heartland Labor Forum are ours and not necessarily those of KKFI, UMKC, or any of the unions involved. Tune in every Thursday evening to the Heartland Labor Forum at 6 o'clock or to our Friday morning rebroadcast at 5 o'clock right here on 90.1 FM KKFI.